Hi, and welcome to the first NV Access podcast. My name is Mick Curran, and with me is
Jamie Tay.
And we're both core developers on the NVDA project. And I guess the idea of this podcast and future podcasts is really just to talk a bit about what's happening in NVDA land, you know, new versions that come out, anything we might be working on that might be interesting for the future, and also some any general information about NV Access or just things in general that we find interesting. So I guess the first big news that we really have to talk about is the release of NVDA 2012.1. This is our first release for 2012, and it came out...
Last week, I think.
So it was in late March.
I didn't remember.
And, yeah, there's plenty of new features in there that we're really interested in talking about, because certainly, I guess, the main three things that they're really focused on are Braille, Microsoft Word, and iTunes, and we can go into each of those things as we go along. So, Jamie, maybe you want to...
Yeah, I'll start with Braille. Mm-hmm. So, in Braille land, one of the things we haven't supported up until now is what's called word wrapping. So, if you were reading a big, long paragraph of Braille, at the end of the line, you'd sort of end in the middle of a word sometimes. So, you'd be like, I'm going to walk down T Street, which is obviously kind of distracting. So, that's now been changed. It's now optional. You can turn that on or off. So, now it'll actually break... before it hits the word, so you don't have to scroll in the middle of a word.
And that, I guess, includes also in the middle of contractions, right?
As in, cause
sometimes we were seeing like .5 and then an S on the you know, for some or something.
Or you could see T and then GR for together on the next one, which is pretty distracting and not very natural. Yeah. So that's good. We also have introduced a mode called paragraph read by paragraph. And basically what that does is when you're reading, say, a web document or any structured document, really, it will allow you to read the entire paragraph uninterrupted. So normally we read by line. And so you'll be reading along and you'll get to the end of a line, which could be in the middle of the display. And that can break your natural reading order. So you can now set it to read by paragraph so that the entire paragraph will display. Obviously, it has to break when you need to scroll, but it means that you can read fluently without having to suddenly stop when, you know, the line just happens to end near the start of the display.
Yeah.
We also now support... formatting. So if the document has italics or bold or underline, that will now be communicated in Braille using the appropriate signs if you're using a contracted Braille table or a grade one Braille table. You can now see those signs as if you're reading, you know, a textbook or something like that. And this also includes indication of selection. So if you select some text, previously we weren't able to display that. We just showed you where the cursor was. Now you'll see .7 and .8 underneath the selected text. The formatting enhancements... Ooh, the scroll back button on my Braille display is stuck. the formatting enhancements also include the ability to read control information in web documents, and Word documents for that matter, but we'll go to that later. So, for example, if there's a heading, you'll see H1. If there's a link, you'll see LNK. So, previously, you'd only see the text in those documents. Now you actually get to see... all the rest of it. So it's now quite possible for a blind deaf user, for example, to use NVDA with just a Braille display.
And activating links?
Yes, now you can actually activate links from Braille display, which you couldn't do before. You had to go to your keyboard and press enter, and you no longer have to do that. You can actually just press the routing keys on the Braille display. What else have we got here? Finally, there's support for a few more Braille displays. Some Braille displays manufactured by Hedo in Germany. I hope that's how you pronounce it. Is it Hedo? I don't know. And also the new generation Shimanware Brilliant B and BI series displays. Mm-hmm. Next on the list of new stuff is Microsoft Word, and I'll let you go with that.
Thank you. Well, yeah, so this release has quite a few improvements to the experience with Microsoft Word. The major new thing is that we announce much more information when reading documents. So some of this information will be things such as heading levels, footnotes, the different sections of the document that you're in. So, for instance, whether you are in a footnotes pane or in a comments pane. It'll also announce the existence of comments on a line, and it's also much more accurate in announcing where formatting changes occur and spelling errors, etc. And to add to this, performance in Word has been greatly improved. And this actually helped us implement some of these other formatting features, because one of the reasons for many years we haven't supported a lot of these extra features, such as heading levels and footnotes, is because we just knew that it would slow down support for Microsoft Word way too much. So now that we have...
Every time we added a new formatting feature, it just got slower.
Exactly.
And slower.
So we just, in the end, didn't really think it was appropriate. You know, it was better to be reading fast than lots of information. But now we've broken that barrier, and for those technical people, we've taken our support in process for Microsoft Word. And now that does allow us to grab a lot of the formatting a lot faster now. So even now when you do turn on all your formatting, so say you're writing proofreading a document for uni and you want to make sure that, you know, something's not accidentally bolded or something in the middle of a line somewhere, now that is possible by turning on all the formatting and just reading. It's still as performant as with that information turned off.
I've got a note here about bug fixes in Word. I don't know what that means.
Yes. Well, that's just refers to, we had a few issues with tables in Microsoft Word, right. For instance. If there was a table with merged cells, NVDA wouldn't cope very well at all. Now it tends to read quite well with that. And there may be some improvements to guessing proper row and column numbers, etc. And there may be a few other bug fixes too, because a lot of this Word support was completely rewritten anyway. Yeah,
we might have introduced new bugs to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. The next big item in NVDA 2012.1 is support for the iTunes Store. Previously, we've had pretty good support for iTunes for a while now. You can do almost everything in iTunes, but one of the areas that we really lacked in was support for the store. So it was very difficult to make purchases or browse the iTunes Store. And now the iTunes Store it looks pretty much like any other web document does in NVDA. So it uses browse mode, which means you have heading navigation. You can read it like a flat document. You can use your elements list, you can press enter on links, all of that stuff now just works really nicely. Further after that, we have, in Adobe Digital Editions, we've supported that fairly well for a while now, and it works very well, but one of the things that was kind of annoying is when you do a say all, when you get to the end of a page, you just stop, which obviously isn't a very pleasant reading experience. So now the pages will turn automatically as you're doing a say all. And the way that we've implemented this, it's possible for us to potentially do that in other ebook reading style applications as well in the future.
So Digital Editions, just for those who don't know, is just a general ebook reader, is it? It supports EPUB and all that kind of stuff.
And it also supports some protected Adobe formats. So mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. the a lot of books have protection on them, and it's actually possible to read those in Digital Editions, I believe, mm-hmm. although I haven't tried it myself. We now have better support for some complex ARIA widgets, which we're talking about the Accessible Rich Internet Application Standard, which allows you to do sort of stuff like toolbars and menus and the like. And previously we had some issues where there's just some weirdness with menus, toolbars and grids in documents. So you'd sometimes you'd be using a menu and it'd suddenly drop back into browse mode and do weird things like that. So we've just tightened all that up a bit, and it's now working much more smoothly and as you would expect. There's also a few improvements to the reading of dialogues. I don't want to go into this too much, but basically we would sometimes speak part of it. We'd say something in a dialogue that wasn't actually part of it. So for example, if you went into our, was it the Braille settings dialogue? It'd say something like, Braille settings dialogue, cursor blink rate.
That's right.
Which just is silly. It's not part of the message. So we've fixed a few things like that, and there are a few other ones in there as well.
I think...
Oh, dear. I'm just going to turn my phone off.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
And so that I guess, also includes Windows Explorer file properties.
Yes.
That's been tightened up a bit as well.
It has indeed.
Yeah.
We also have support, better support for cursor tracking in editable text fields with display hooks. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yes. Okay. So the first major bug that was fixed was that this relates to Microsoft Excel. So for the technical people, we use display hooks to access the formula bar in Microsoft Excel. And there was an issue that if you were using Chinese fonts, even if it was English text, we weren't able to read anything at all. That's now been fixed and the cursor's tracked correctly. But interestingly enough, that fix actually enabled us to work with a lot more older text editors. So we hear of people having success with Eudora, for instance, in their message editor.
Which is something that people have been talking about for a while now. And it just sort of started working for us, which is nice. We also found this really interesting bug where if you changed... So we have this awesome little symbol pronunciation editor, and you can change the pronunciation of your symbols. And we discovered that if you have auto language switching enabled and you change the pronunciation, it didn't actually take effect until you restarted MVDA, which kind of sucks. So we fixed that, which we didn't even know about until...
That was just reported by a user. And
this goes to shows if you report issues, they very well may get fixed.
Yep, definitely.
Or possibly even in the next release.
Yes.
So please do report issues.
That one was reported quite near the end of this release, was. Actually. Yeah.
We were like, surely that can't be sure.
Oh, dear.
Right. So that's kind of the end of the big, you know, feature review and highlights for 2012.1. We just wanted to talk quickly about Windows 8 support.
Should we actually just quickly say where people can get 2012.1 anyway?
That's probably a good idea. Well, you can get it from the NVDA website, which is nvda-project.org.
Yep. Good, good. So you were mentioning Windows 8, is that right?
Yes, I believe so. So, well, there was one bug fix in 2012.1.
That's correct. A pretty small one, but I guess the point is that we're working closely on Windows 8 because it's obviously going to be coming out at the around mid to end of, or maybe the end of this year. So that one little bug in 2012.1 was just about accessing the search field in Windows Explorer. We fixed that up. But I guess talking more into the future with Windows 8, we're certainly working on more fixes, and that includes our support for Metro apps. So just to cover Windows 8 a little bit, there's going to be two modes of applications. One is sort of the Windows desktop that everyone's always used to in previous Windows versions, but the other mode is what they're calling Metro-style apps, which is sort of a more full-screen approach, slightly more, I guess, simplified and web-oriented. And these applications you'll be able to buy from a Windows store. So there's already lots of cool applications already being developed, and they're very important to Windows 8. But one of the interesting things is, as far as assistive technology is concerned, is because of, I guess, changes to security and things like that, assistive technologies are going to have to change a little bit in regards to how they access these Metro apps. So from NVDA's point of view, we don't work that well with particular Metro-style apps, certainly the ones that have a lot of web content. And one of the reasons for this, without going too technical, but there are some limitations of how much we can use our in-process code and use our, I guess, our virtual buffers and all that kind of stuff that people might be used to. We're hoping that a lot of this can be solved before the release of Windows 8, and we are working closely with Microsoft on this. But at the same time, there may be also, you know, if certain things don't fully get fixed, well, then we might be seeing some, I guess, some slight changes to the way you might interact, you know, with certain applications. So we're working on that closely, and a lot of this relates back to how we're using Microsoft's UI automation API, which is a sort of an accessibility layer that was added in Windows 7 mostly. So we're going to keep an eye on that, and we're going to be working as much as we can to make sure that Windows 8 is a good experience. But yeah, just being completely honest here, some Metro apps might not work that well right now with 2012.1. I should also note that the modern Internet Explorer browser, which is sort of a Metro version of the real Internet Explorer, that one will have some trouble as well. So as I say, not that great now, but we're certainly very closely working with Microsoft to see what can be sorted.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the important thing is that at the end of the day, we'll do everything in our power to provide as much access as we can.
Correct. And I mean, I should say that other than Metro apps, Windows 8 is working very nicely. It's really just like...
Well, you're using Windows. It on your...
I am. I'm using Windows 8 all the time, and I'm not really noticing any major issues. I was. Yeah, in the beginning. That's true, but it has come a long, long way since September last year. So.
Touch.
Touch, yes. I think we've clearly said in the past that MV Access really does care about the idea of supporting touch screens for the blind and vision impaired, and this certainly goes for NVDA. Some of you may know that we did investigate supporting touch in Windows 7 with NVDA, but the truth was that there wasn't enough access for assistive technologies in Windows 7 to get the information that we needed in terms of sort of hooking the screen and all that kind of stuff to get that touch information. But we are very happy to say that in Windows 8, that has improved majorly. Now an assistive technology is able to hook the screen as much as they like, and you're able to make a fully touch-compatible assistive technology if that's what you want to do. I should note that Narrator, Microsoft's inbuilt screen reader, has been improved in Windows 8 and does actually support touch. So if you have access to a Windows 8 tablet or something like that with a touch screen, then you can already explore with Narrator around the screen. We really want to do the same thing, and we're certainly investigating that. I'd say that
I think
I'm,
we can make improvements on that approach too.
Certainly. I'm probably maybe nearly halfway through the code in NVDA necessary to do that. I haven't published any of it yet because I'm still testing on particular devices and stuff like that, but we're slowly getting there, and we really do believe that touch support can really go far.
Doesn't help it that they broke the drivers for your
No. So we're certainly looking at hopefully getting access to another device, and we might mention that pretty soon. But we really do see the potential for touch, certainly with Windows 8. I mean, not only will it be important to be able to control the screen reader fully from a touch screen, because there's going to be no real hardware keyboard or anything on some of these tablets that are going to come out. But I think there's also, I think we can go further than that in the future. I mean, thinking about how to access maps and diagrams, I think there's endless possibilities, really. Mm. So we're looking into that.
So should we move on to, well, I guess what's coming up in the future of NVDA?
Yeah. So the first one that we're looking at is what we're calling the Embedded Installer, which is, I guess, a project to replace...
Haven't been talking about this for years.
We have been talking about it for years, but I think it's nearly there. The idea is to replace the current installer that everyone would be used to, and actually bring the installer inside NVDA itself. So the idea will be that we will only have one distribution of NVDA that people will download into the future. So there'll be no more choosing whether you need a portable version or an installer version. You'll just download one version. And this version, when you start it, it will allow you to either straight away install to the computer or make your own portable copy on a USB key or something like that, or somewhere else portable on your hard drive, whatever you like. But you'll have the control over that. But the great thing is that it's just one version that you only carry around.
Yep. And I guess we've been working on this in parallel, but automatic updates is another thing that will actually benefit greatly from this embedded installer work. And so the idea is, like every other, a lot of other packages out there, NVDA will come up and tell you when there's an update, but it will also be able to go and grab that update and, assuming that we get it right, it'll be able to install the update automatically for you. So it'll just ask you, can you want to install the update? And you'll say yes, and off it'll go using this new embedded installer framework.
Yeah. And I think it's fair enough to say too that an advantage of the update system is also that we may be able to get better statistics of who really is using NVDA, because we know a lot of people are, but you know, you need statistics to prove that kind of thing. And if we want NVDA to continue and go forward, then a lot of people are asking for these kind of information.
It's important for any funding, or
it is.
I mean, lots of things, not just funding, but that's one of the big ones. Yep. People want to know that they're actually funding a successful project.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure about this one yet, but I mean, it's coming up at some point in the near term. And that's, we want to have a better packaging system for add-ons. So at the moment, you can currently write plugins and drivers, synth and braille display drivers for NVDA, but installing them is not trivial for some people. You have to copy them into a certain directory and make sure that all the pieces are in the right places. And so we want to come up with just a way where you can have one little file and you install it and, it's just there. And on top of that, we also want to have some sort of central repository for those add-ons. Mm-hmm. So you can go and find all the, you know, funky little pieces of work that people...
Because there are there's a lot of work going on.
There really is. Seeing,
certainly on the development list and support list and everything, there's people are working on stuff. And I mean, even you, Jamie, you did the OCR plugin, and a lot of people are finding that very useful.
Well, and the thing is, right now, you know, it's in a random place in my Dropbox, and you have to go and grab it, and no one really knows about it, and so people keep asking me, and I have to give them the URL. It's not an ideal way of distributing add-ons, and it means that not as many people benefit from them, so we really want to make sure that is a lot easier.
Yeah,
so it'll be coming up at some point, but we're not sure when exactly yet.
No.
So I guess that's mostly it, to be honest. Yeah, there's a few last points that we'd like to make.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the work that we do is, we believe it's really important. We're not hiding the fact that we both work on it full-time, but it really is a full-time job. But in order to keep that going, we have grants, and we're hoping to get more funding from elsewhere as well. But we really do need your donations as well, and every little bit counts. Even if it's only $5 or $10 from time to time, you know, if everyone did that, it would make a huge amount of difference.
It certainly would, and I mean, we can say now that from January to April this year, we've made just over $9,500 in donations, and that really makes a big difference to us. And we certainly thank everyone for those donations.
And that's a vast improvement on previous years.
It
so we
is,
really
yeah.
appreciate the Extremely. People that are you know, that are doing that. It really does help, and it really is appreciated.
It does.
We'd just like to have a bit of a shout-out to our major sponsors who have provided fairly significant grants to us. And currently those are Adobe Systems,
yep.
And also the Mozilla Corporation.
Yep. And both of those companies have worked with us. We've got very good relationships
very
with
good.
Them going back. And, without them, our project wouldn't be running today.
And they're great to work with.
They are. They're very good companies to work with. So.
I guess it's pretty much time for us to sign off. If you'd like more information on anything, or if you'd like to, you know, the central place for everything is nvaccess.org.
Okay. See you all next time.
See you later.